Friends with brews.
We're going to die. Okay, it's working.
That's a great opener.
I know.
Hey, we're in the Christmas spirit, Scott.
Yes, high energy over here.
High energy. Sounds like you need a cup of coffee.
I do, and I have a cup of coffee. But guess what I discovered after I brewed the coffee? This is a company called Local Roasting Company in... Hold on here. You're not going to believe this. Let me find it. Yankton, Oregon. Yankton.
Yankton.
These Yankers are in Yankton, Peter.
That reminds me of people who are sabotaging or gaming the Google Maps results by naming their restaurants things like Thai food near me.
This is a city poning itself.
Yeah, it's a local roasting company. I'm not talking about Yankton. I'm talking about a local roasting company.
Yeah.
Like, I want a local roasting company. Okay, here you go. We got one of those.
The problem is, it is so generic. And I literally can't find a website for it. I think all they have is Facebook, maybe.
Oh, good.
They might have something on Twitter, but I haven't logged in to Twitter to see if that's really them.
Gotta love those.
Yeah, and I don't want to go to Facebook, and I don't want to go to Twitter. See, this is... Actually, they're worse than beer companies now, because at least beer companies have their own websites. Anyway, this coffee, I'm going to describe it. I got to figure out how to get information about this to people. It's called Local Roasting Company. The coffee is called Sidamo, S-I-D-A-M-O, organic.
Okay.
And then the description is something that Vic wrote, because every time he makes food, he always sends us pictures, and he says, so good, with multiple O's. And this says, so good, with multiple O's on the front of it. But then it says, bright, with hints of strawberry and graham cracker. Excellent as espresso, French press, or drip. What else is there? I'm trying to think of any other ways to prepare it.
Aeropress?
But that's kind of drip.
No, Aeropress is not. Aeropress is more espresso than drip.
It does use compression, but it...
Oh, well, the way it does use compression. Now, if you wait too long and you use the default filter and the default bottom of an Aeropress, yes, it is drip, but its claim to fame is the pressure.
Yeah. Okay. I have another drink also, but we're going to go to your drink first. I don't know how many drinks you have today.
Returning as a regular special guest, probably second most or the third most popular appearance on this after you and me, is Wegmans Decaf Espresso Roast.
Peter, I'm honored that you think that we're more popular than that coffee to our listeners, but I seriously doubt it.
I'm just talking about headcount. Just tell me the number of times of appearance here.
Okay, right? Gotcha. Not actual popularity.
But today, I'm doing a different treatment from normal in the holiday season. Holiday cheer.
That was kind of amazing. Yeah.
Well, so what I did is I brewed my regular old decaf espresso roast, ground it in my fellow Opus grinder, made it in my AeroPress, and then I poured it over almond milk that I made myself. Handmade almond milk, and then a little bit of simple syrup, which I also made myself, and then topped it with whipped coconut cream, which I did not make myself.
That sounds amazing. But I have to ask you, did you grow the almonds? Did you use 30 acres of water to grow a handful of almonds so that you could...
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I also did not grow the cinnamon and roast it and grind it that I topped it off with.
I see.
So no. So I just took some, I ordered some almonds. They showed up. I soaked them overnight. I threw them in a blender with some water and I strained them in, wait for it, a nut bag.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
At a certain point, we got to move on.
Let's move on from the nut bag.
So.
That sounds amazing. So tell me how.
Oh, it tastes great. It tastes really good. Now, again, also the simple syrup, I did not grow the sugar cane, nor did I plumb the water right out of the ground. But what I did do is combine all of these ingredients. And I got to say, it tastes pretty, it's pretty good. It's sweet. I mean, I don't usually sweeten my coffee.
It sounds amazing.
But, you know, it's Christmas season. So there you go.
Yeah, this is very Christmassy sounding and looking, I must say. I have the advantage of seeing Peter on video and I see the drink and it looks like something you'd want on Christmas. It really does. Well done, friend.
So I don't think I'll be drinking one of these on Christmas because I'm not going to be here, but that's okay.
Can't take your ingredients with you and make it wherever you go?
I mean, I could, but I don't know. It's a tall order taking 30 acres of land and almond trees with you everywhere you go. I don't think that, even if I buy a first class ticket.
You got to call ahead and find out if they've got water-filled fields that you can steal moisture from.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Incidentally, there is a setting when you, in Audio Hijack Pro, if you are recording, pro tip, now that I'm an Audio Hijack Pro user, I need to share our pro tips with the dear listener. I was noticing that when I would record these calls, if I recorded the FaceTime call as well as the microphone source call, I'm just doing that so that listener knows that I'm recording a microphone.
Okay. By the fact that they can hear you, they know that you're recording with a microphone of some kind.
Well, they don't, of some kind, yes. But now they know that I'm recording from the kind that I can tap. Anyway, there's a setting when you add the block in Audio Hijack for the application you're recording from.
Uh-huh.
If you click on it, you get a little advanced drop down. And under that, there's a checkbox that says include audio input.
Yeah.
You turn that off, and now you don't include it anymore, and suddenly you don't get echo.
By the way, don't forget to, I assume that you also enabled the fill playback gaps with silence thing, because otherwise you wind up with a short file because it stops when it's not getting sound?
No. Where do I do that? Is that why this recording was 5 minutes on my side and 45 minutes on yours? Fill playback gaps with silence.
Yeah. They all have them.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
That's how you keep your tracks the same length.
So if you don't do that, it truncates?
I guess so.
That sounds like a weird default option.
Because think about it. This isn't just made for podcasting. It's also made for things like recording internet audio, recording just about anything. And you might want to fiddle around and get your next audio source, your next thing queued up, and you might not want that silence to be there. It's a weird default, you're right. It's not a weird thing to have.
No, but it's weird default.
I would have the default be the reverse, yeah.
Yeah, I've never worked with anything else that, you know, like, hey, we're going to record, but if things go quiet, we're just going to cut that all out for you. I was like, okay, I'm glad I know that now.
Well, presumably people who are recording want to be noisy. Okay, here's my second drink. This is a brewery that you've had on this podcast for, Breckenridge Brewing.
BB.
Yeah, BB. And this is their Christmas ale. That's all I know about it, Peter. Let's see. No, I took notes. I'm a liar. View all beers, brews. Your view all brews. Here it is. It says it's malty. It says, the chill of winter calls for a beer with extra flavor and strength, Peter. An abundance of carefully roasted malts creates notes of caramel and chocolate, while Chinook and Mount Hood hops. Hey. Mount Hood contribute a spicy quality for a balance and clean finish.
Now, I have to ask, were some of those letters bolded and capitalized?
No.
It sounded like it when you said there were extra, you know.
7.1%.
That's extra.
Voluminous.
Voluminous. Yeah, this one is like, I think I have less than 7.1% caffeine in this.
Pretty sure. All right, so I popped the lid. Now I'm going to pour. I'm getting way too much fuzz. Whenever Vic's on here, he yells at me whenever I have foam in my glass. Okay, I'm going to have a sip. It's pretty good. You know, Christmas ales are a weird thing. Most of them I would not want all the time, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no exception to that rule, but it's pretty good. It's not bad. I'll drink it for now, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've had a few Christmas brews, and they're like, okay, that was nice. And then I'm usually done.
Yeah, get away from me.
That was good, but I usually don't need, like, one is generally enough for me. I'm usually, that was good. That was sufficient. Cool. So what else are we talking about?
Peter, I was very surprised today to see this article from 9to5Mac. I don't remember where I saw it linked from. Probably somebody on Mastodon or I don't know. Apple is going to stop selling Apple Watch Series 9 and Apple Watch Ultra 2 in the United States of America this week. They're stopping selling.
Okay. Is this just a clickbait headline? What's going on here?
No, this is 9 to 5 Mac.
Right, but it sounds rather sensationalist. Is it like, are they stopping for a week and then they're going to start again? Or is this like they're done? What's going on? I did not read the article.
In a statement to 9 to 5 Mac, Apple has announced it will soon halt sales of its flagship Apple Watch models in the United States. The reason why is because there's a lawsuit about blood oxygen sensor technology patents from a company called Masimo.
Oh, I know those folks.
Do you? You sound like you like them.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Yeah, so they're apparently fighting with Apple, claiming they own this technology.
Interesting.
A bunch of their claims have already been rejected, but some haven't. And so the ITC is going to ban... What exactly are they banning? The ban only impacts... anyway, they're banning Apple from using the technology until this gets settled in court.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So you and I are going to have a rare and precious object on our wrists this Christmas, my friend. Be proud, Peter. Be proud.
I'm proud.
Excellent. You sound proud. But are you calm and collect?
I'm...
Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. That took me by surprise. It sounds like patent troll stuff, but you never know. I mean, it is possible that the multi-billion dollar company, who surely doesn't need to go around infringing on others' technology in order to produce a watch, did in fact decide just to steal Masimo. It's possible that they just said, look, we'll just steal their stuff. Who could ever notice?
I mean, Apple has, correct me if I'm wrong, Apple, unlike Microsoft, has just sort of added features into the operating system that used to be competing software developers' features, right?
Right, but you're talking about non-copyrightable ideas. This is a piece of hardware. This is a blood oxygen sensor.
Sure.
Presumably, that's a hell of a lot more copyrightable than a specific feature done in a specific way. They've always had problems with... Software's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can make something do the equivalent of somebody else. You can't steal their code. You probably shouldn't make it look identical. You should probably have your own interpretation on how it works. But...
Xerox, Park, Apple, Windows.
Right, but Xerox and Apple had agreements. Microsoft and Apple didn't really have an agreement that let them not be surprised.
Right. Well, anyway, that's interesting. Okay, so I wonder what this means. Let's say Masimo comes out on top. They'll probably settle for, you know, like $1 billion or something.
Yeah, something.
And then...
And then the CEO will immediately retire with a gigantic bonus.
Right. And then Apple will go back to having it again, you know, so they'll have to like license the technology. What do you think? So what are the possible things, possible outcomes? Number one.
Yeah, I mean, either Apple has to come up with something completely new and Masimo gets a bundle of money, or Masimo gets a bundle of money retroactively and Apple has to license it, or everyone decides that Masimo is full of utter shit and this goes away at some point in time and Apple says, you know, go straight to Hades, Masimo, and possibly pay some of our court fees, but I doubt that. Does that happen when companies get sued? Do they make people pay their fees, or is that just individuals?
I think that can happen. I think they can include that in. I'm not really...
For
I'm
wasting their time and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think including the cost is a possibility.
I would want it. If it was a patent troll, I don't care how big of a company I am, I want it reimbursed for that money just for the sheer aggravation of some idiot claiming something that's not true.
So Masimo's not, as much as I might want to, you know, like trash them for generating garbage that we had to secure properly on the hospital network.
Oh.
They're not a patent troll in the pure sense of the word that that's all they do. They actually do make hardware and software that's allegedly of some use.
Right, but the fact that they're making it for the hospital industry leads me to believe that security was never a concern for them.
I'm sure they don't know how to spell security.
Right, and that they're committing crimes against humanity just by making their product.
Pretty much.
Whether they intend to or not.
Yes.
Even if they didn't set out to make it as bad as possible, they probably just don't care.
Yes. Therefore, I'm rooting for Apple on this one. And I am not. And they can take my Apple yeah. Watch Ultra 2 when they pry it from my cold, dead wrist.
Now, careful. You've had knee problems recently. They might be able to catch up to you. I don't know. Don't.
It's okay. It's not my primary kicking knee, so I can still defend myself.
Okay.
So. All right. What else we got?
Yeah, because we talked a lot about monster things in the last few episodes. And then you, Peter, you went and watched a movie. We were supposed to do it together, but you went anyway. What did you watch? Tell the listener.
This weekend, I watched Godzilla Minus One.
Minus one movie? Minus one
Minus
ticket?
One, just, nope, just Godzilla Minus One.
You just snuck in. You didn't have a ticket. You just snuck in.
So the name of the movie is Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
And it takes place, and I didn't catch this. I didn't really... I listened to the guys over at BigSandwich.co and their review. I knew that it started around World War II. I didn't realize that the entire time frame, though, is, you know, in the years immediately following World War II and the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
They're going back to their original assertion, which is that dropping atomic bombs on a country is bad.
Right. And also, you know, they shoehorned in that having a giant reptilian lizard type thing that's atomic powered and killing people is also bad.
Oh, interesting takeaway.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's a matter of perspective, I suppose.
The monster seemed to enjoy it.
In this movie, he does. I was kind of surprised. In this, you know, because sometimes Godzilla's just, you know, goes and destroys things. And other times it's like collateral damage. He's trying to like protect the earth. But some folks get stepped on, you know, as a matter of course of doing
business.
He's
fighting other monsters. And given the fact that they live on Earth, some things are going to get crushed.
Exactly. He's got bigger priorities. King Kong, for example, bigger priority, right? Rodan, whatever they call it. You know, they all come up with names for these.
And skyscrapers are really good for bashing your opponent's face into.
They are. So the only opponents that he faces in this one are the Japanese military. And well, some volunteers too, but basically the Japanese. So they went back to their roots. Godzilla's a big, bad monster.
Based on everything I've seen of kaiju movies so far, the military sucks when it comes to defending anyone against these giant kaiju. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally. But it was interesting, and I, you know, this will be spoiler free, but the movie, you know, it starts in the last days of World War II, so it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it continues on for, I want to say like a year or two afterwards, you know, as it goes on through. And what's interesting is this is after Japan had been largely demilitarized. So you don't have like, more, I guess, King Kong than Godzilla, but he's not like swatting at airplanes constantly because they didn't have any, you know?
Oh, interesting.
So anyway, but I did enjoy the movie. It was very well done. Not unlike, you know, a lot of other Godzilla movies, there's a lot. I mean, Godzilla has relatively little screen time compared to the lead actor and other humans, right?
Yeah.
But it was still really well done. The acting is really good. The story is good. And there are three surprises towards the end. And I have to say, I saw them all coming.
Really?
Yes.
So they're not surprises.
I was not as surprised. I was like, I wonder if, and yep, okay, it happened. Yep. But anyway, two thumbs up, even if they're tiny little T-Rex thumbs, you know, definitely.
they're not giant Godzilla big toes. They're
No. Well, one thing that was funny, I'll talk about giant Godzilla big toes. So he does tend to be a little bottom heavy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more like the original incarnation of Godzilla, I think.
Right. I think most of the time, regardless, like there are
all the junk is in the trunk. Yeah.
Bingo. He's
all about the base.
He's got the Meghan Trainor thing going on. Exactly. You know, he could be a Kardashian. I don't know. Anyway, was it Kardashian? I'm thinking. No, I was thinking J-Lo. That's what it is. Anyway,
I think they all have artificially widened rear ends. I'm not sure.
Probably. Anyway, and I think Godzilla probably does too in this movie. Anyway. The nuclear blast really, you know, gave him the big
butt syndrome. He was doing it before it was popular.
But what's really funny is there's this part where he is in deep water, right? Mm-hmm. And you, because there's parts where, like, you know, when he's coming ashore, he's walking, obviously he's walking ashore, and you see his upper body is out of the water, and, you know, he's just like sliding along, right? You don't see his feet moving, but you can get from that that he's standing along, you know, walking along the bottom of the ocean, but it's not very deep.
Yeah.
But there's a part towards the end where he's in very deep water, and he's up to, I don't know, at least halfway up. So I think his bottom half is really buoyant, you know, because he's able to come up. It's not just like, you know, there's parts in the movie where he's just, you know, only his head is sticking up, or and his spikes, you know, along his back and his tail. But then there's another part where he's like standing up out of the water. And it's very clear, because, you know, for reasons I won't go into, that he's in very deep water. And I thought that was kind of funny. So
maybe he was dog paddling like crazy underneath there and holding himself vertical.
He might have been doing like a duck, you know, like Fred on the top. He's all calm, yeah, calm. Cool. He's like, yeah. I'm the king of monsters. I got this, you puny humans. But underneath, he's like, ah, my legs. Oh, my God. Burn. He's got flippers strapped on so he can stay up, you know. He's maybe he was wearing a giant little rubber dinghy, you know, a little tube.
That'd be awesome.
So
Godzilla.
Anyway.
Godzilla not scary until he takes off the duck flotation device and flings it over his shoulder.
That's what everyone's, oh, now we're in for it.
Yeah, now we're in for it. Damn it, we're gonna die.
Anyway. I highly recommend it. It was a very well done movie. Definitely stirred some emotions. You know, I was like, this is good. It was really good.
Good.
So I was very happy that I spent the time to watch it.
I talked to my daughter yesterday and I said, Peter says we must. And she said, okay, so we're going to watch it this vacation.
Excellent. Yep. I caught a matinee, so it cost me like $12 and it was worth it.
You should not catch manatees.
A manatee. Well, Godzilla does. There's parts where he catches manatees, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, maybe those are kind of fish. Anyway, I don't know. I did look, and I saw that in a rare occurrence, at least when I looked, Rotten Tomatoes scored it. The critics gave it 98% positive.
Ooh.
And the moviegoers gave it 98% positive. I've never seen the two consistently so high.
That's a lot of red tomatoes.
The only other movie I've ever seen that had that high a score was Get Out. Yes, that one is, it's good. That one's hard to, it's like a horror movie, not like gory slasher, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a horror suspenseful kind of thing. It's worth watching. It's very well done. Also,
is it new, recent?
No, it's been a few years now.
Okay.
Yep. But highly recommend that one too. Throw that one on the show notes. That one's a good one.
Is it a good Christmas movie to watch with the family?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So I did also, I noticed, my girlfriend and I wanted to watch, A Christmas Carol, but influenced by Adam over on Blurring the Lines, instead we watched Spirited last night.
Oh.
Which is on, it was on Apple TV Plus, starring our friends, Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
Oh.
It's a take on A Christmas Carol with, you know, Scrooge and Marley, etc. Very well done. It is a musical. I generally don't like musicals, but I liked this one.
And I generally get very tired of Will Ferrell very quickly.
Well, he's actually pretty good in this one. I don't generally like him that much, but the movie pokes enough fun at itself and at the original Dickens and other things that it's just really well done. So, Adam, if you're listening, yes, you are right. Spirited is a good movie. I still want to watch the Patrick Stewart Christmas Carol rendition, though.
Yes.
You know, that, for me, that's my classic, you know, because that's when I was a kid. That was the one I saw. And of course, he was Captain Picard then, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, tell me about Cat Progress.
Oh, well, as you know, I've talked a long time ago about the little orange pumpkin that we inherited.
Yes.
Who followed us home and adopted us. He basically sat at the back door looking in on us, waiting for us to let him in until we did. And my God, Peter, has it been a long slog trying to get these cats to like each other. Or even just tolerate each other. We don't even care. Like, just don't fight. Just don't always be in a massive, gigantic fight. And I give 1,000% of the credit for the progress to my wife and 50% other credit to the vet for coming up with Cat Prozac. For the orange guy. So basically what my wife did was we bought these cat cages, right? So that one cat could be in the cage hanging out while the other one's roaming around and you could take turns. They're big. They're tall. They're something that Godzilla would smash as he wandered through the city. And my wife started figuring out places to put him in the house where she could block off areas. So now we have a section of our family room where the TV is and the kitchen. That's one section, and the whole rest of the house is another section. It's the best we could do the way our house is laid out. But the point is, the cats can now see each other, and they can run around on the opposite sides of the cages and interact and not have to lock somebody up in a room, which was horrible.
So wait, they can see each other, you said?
Yeah, because it's basically just cage bars separating them.
Got it.
So they can whack each other through the cage if they want to and interact. Well, so we've been feeding them, trying to feed them together outside the cage area. So they're actually in the same room with varying levels of success. But the other day, my wife was like, okay, we're going to do it in the smaller area. She brought them in there and we just started giving them treats. And we had their heads like right next to each other. In fact, the other day I had them so their ears were touching while they were eating. And the Prozac must be working because Mekon does not just automatically charge midnight anymore. Even when he notices midnight's there and he's not preoccupied with his food. So it's coming a long way. It really is coming a long way. They still can't be roaming the house free together. They still can't be even left alone in the same room very long together.
Okay.
But they're having positive interactions, which is something that I never thought would happen. So I think it's just a matter of way more patience.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is. And Patrick Stewart wasn't there. Will Ferrell definitely wasn't there. Although, if I have to talk about Mekon's demeanor before Prozac, I might describe him as Will Ferrell. I'm not sure.
So, circling back a little bit, I just realized something. Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
Yeah, we're one episode behind on that right now.
Okay, I've only seen the first two episodes so far.
Get it together, dude.
So, I got as far as the actor from the character from the 50s coming forth to modern day. And I did not recognize those two. I did not realize, no spoilers, I did not realize that that was really his father. And I was like, oh, so that's where he got the role to play Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Because the father plays also in a Marvel movie. So,
right.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny.
I only knew that because I used Casey Liss's call sheet app and I realized that.
That's where I found that out. I was like, wait, is that really his dad? Yeah. Oh, it is. Yes. Yeah. I also use Casey Liss's call sheet app.
Did you see the scene I was talking about where there's the bing noise in a comedic effect?
I don't think I did.
Oh, was it episode 2? So tell me what's happened plot-wise so far, because I can't remember. I might be thinking of episode 3 stuff, but I think I'm thinking of episode 2 stuff.
Maybe. So I will tell you, I'm really bad. I don't know a single character's name.
Oh, here's the funny thing. The boy is named Kentaro, and it's hilarious because it's Kentaro, but they keep calling him Kentaro.
Kentaro,
yes. The way the Americans would, but even the people who are good at Japanese call him Kentaro. And so there's a scene where he's eating some chips and he's not supposed to be, and we were wondering if he was going to eat the bag to conceal the evidence.
Like,
and so we came up with the catchphrase, "Eat plastic, Kentaro." So now we just say "Eat plastic, Kentaro" to each other.
Eat plastic, Kentaro. Great. Okay. I honestly don't remember. I'm more following what's going along in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
where they come to the battleship. So there's that, and then they fast forward to the present day and find him at his holding facility, and he says, "Let's break out."
Yeah. It was when they were breaking out.
Oh.
He was driving the van when he had to slam on the brakes.
Did that happen at the end of episode 2, or does that start in episode 3, maybe?
No, I think it happened in the same episode that they said, "Let's break out."
Maybe I missed that. I might have to rewind it.
Did you see anything where they were in the van and they were just going all over creation?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, I guess I just spoiled it for you. I thought that was all in one episode, though. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe at the very end of episode 2 is when he says, "Let's bust out of here." And then all the action starts in episode 3.
I thought so, but maybe, I mean, or I paused it at that point too. I could have paused it and gotten up for a drink.
I think you're right. So anyway, here's my spoiler for you. I'm not going to tell you why, but we found episode 4 to be the most disappointing in a cheesiness factor.
Okay.
We were like, oh no, is this show going to go that way? But then episode 5 was pretty good again. So I think, and we haven't seen 6 yet. So I still have high hopes for the show.
Okay.
I'm not big on shows that allow themselves to get cheesy for no reason. You know, I mean bad special effect, like not even trying.
Got it.
And episode 4 had a couple spots that felt like that. And I will be interested to see if you feel the same way or not, because I'm genuinely curious.
Okay. I'll let you know. No, so what happened is when I bought my new iPad on Black Friday, it came with 3 months of Apple TV Plus. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to, you know, I'll do this because I watched the first episode of Monarch and it was free.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, let me, I don't know. Do I want to, you know, I could watch Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. And then, oh, Spirit is on Apple TV Plus. Okay, fine. Now's the time to start my 3 months free trial so I can watch Monarch, get that out of the way. I can finish up the last season of Ted Lasso.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to watch that.
And then I don't know what else. I don't know what else is on there.
Slow Horses is pretty good. I like Slow Horses. It has Gary Oldman.
Yep.
Basically, it's MI. I can't remember if they're MI5 or MI6.
MI6 or 5. Yeah. Are they international or are they local?
They're the losers. They're local, so they must be MI5.
Should be 5.
They're the losers of the... They're shoved off in a corner because nobody wants to have to deal with them. They've all screwed up in some way or other.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It gets comedic at times, but some of the characters are pretty likable. And then Gary Oldman is just hilarious as the character he portrays because he just does not care about anything except getting the next drink and telling people what he thinks of him.
Okay. Well, I'm also getting ready. My drink is empty, so I'm ready to get to the next drink. So why don't we wrap up telling our dear listener how one goes about matching SSH keys stored in 1Password.
If you remember...
I do remember.
I was complaining not that long ago about the fact that...
Kept on getting yourself locked out of a server.
Right, because if you have a bunch of SSH keys stored in 1Password and you have 1Password set as your SSH key agent, identity agent, I guess,
mm-hmm.
What it'll do is when you SSH into a server, it'll start cycling through the SSH keys in 1Password looking for a match.
Yep.
And most SSH servers are 5 or 6 tries by default. I can't remember the default setting, but it's like 5 or 6.
Right.
So I have way more SSH keys than that, so I would get locked out. So I would go in and change the setting to 7 or 10 or something. Now I can go set all those back to their defaults because I learned, and I will put a link to this article in there, I learned that what you can do is keep the keys in 1Password, but download just the public key locally in your SSH directory.
Okay.
And then in your SSH config, say identity file, and then give it the name of that public key. But the private key is still in 1Password.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's still protected by your password.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's just sitting in your directory and you have to decide, do I want the inconvenience of typing the password or, you know,
okay.
The passphrase.
All right.
So anyway, that's that. It works and I like it.
I have not gotten to using 1Password for my SSH keys. I might give myself...
See, the nice thing about it is that they're protected, but instead of typing in a password, you just double tap your watch or whatever. Same as you would, or use, you know, Touch ID if it's your laptop or...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that might be cool. I might.
By the way, speaking of, you know how you had sudo set up so that you could use your Touch ID or your watch?
Yes.
That keeps stopping working for me.
Yes. I believe that file gets overwritten. I don't think it's a protected file. It's not a config file. So every time there's an OS...
whenever we get a Mac OS update.
Every time there's an update. Yep.
Damn it. So I'm literally going to have to remember. What I need to do is make a little script where I can just run the script and it overwrites it again.
I was just going to say, I'm just going to make a little script, do a quick little set on that line, have it reboot, you know, have it run every time you boot up your machine and forget about it.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to remember how to do that.
Yep. It's really nice, though, having sudo, you know, like, oh, this is you. Yep, it's me. Okay, great.
It is nice because even though I didn't need to, before I realized I didn't need to today, I was trying to modify my Etsy hosts file for reasons that you know right away. But I had to type in my password and I was just instantly annoyed. It's like, why am I living like a caveman, Peter? I know what's possible and I can't do it now.
Some days we live like cavemen, Scott. But not today, because I'm going to get myself another beverage. That's what I want to do.
Right now or after we hang up?
Yeah, I want to get a... Well, I figure we should hang up and then I'll go get the beverage.
Oh, you're not sharing with your listener.
I could just hang... No. I think we're good. We made it through. We've done QED, man. We've done what we set out to do.
Yeah, I want to go watch the giant lizard with the big behind.
There you go. You should do that.
Apparently, he's not minus one posterior.
No, he's definitely plus one. Yep, he's got an extra large there. He's a plus size. Godzilla extra large, all about the base.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because it obviously doesn't fit into the MonsterVerse, but it's more true to the original Godzilla.
Correct. Yes, that's definitely not part of MonsterVerse. So that's which right. is okay. You know,
yeah, it's fine. I think having multiple interpretations is fine. And I think having the Japanese say, hey, let's steer it back to what we originally started off as, I think that's pretty cool too.
I mean, if anyone should have the right to steer it back, I guess it would be the Japanese.
And if anyone should have the right to say, we're still unhappy about that atomic thing, it's probably the Japanese.
Probably they have more right than anyone else to be unhappy about that.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Except maybe the Aleutians. I think we bombed the hell out of the Aleutians too. I'm not sure.
They can be they can be unhappy too.
Yeah, even though the MonsterVerse has proven that those tests weren't conducted just so that we could kill innocent people, it was conducted because monsters were out there. So I don't know why they're so bitter. We were trying to save their lives, Peter, is what I'm saying.
Indeed.
Peter's like, just shut this guy up.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, what do you have to say to the listener about how to find many things?
You already did, you moron.
Oh.
That's how. That's what I have to say. If you're wondering, how do I find these guys?
You already did.
That, obviously, you've drunk too much beer because you're drunk.
But we do have a website.
We do have a website. It's friendswithbrews.com. Mm-hmm. That's B-R-E-W-S.
And I may be the only person that goes and uses the search feature there, but I use the search feature to look for different things that we've had or things that we've said. And the transcripts are getting better for people who like to read their podcasts. I know Vic is big on reading podcasts. He's all about the fact that podcasts should be printed out on paper and carried around with you.
I don't get that, man. I mean, I go the other way. I want to go from printed to audio. But if you want to read transcripts, I mean, if that's your thing, I'm not gonna knock.
Well, let's put it this way. What if somebody wants to know something about a topic that we just so happen to cover and they're deaf or they're busy and they're at work and they can't really stop their boss from talking yap, 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 yappity, but they want to know about this important topic that we covered expertly. And so they're just going to read a transcript right then and there.
Question is, do they then take that transcript and run it through a text-to-speech generator?
No.
Why not?
Because they're listening to their boss yap. You didn't hear me.
But I mean, later on.
No. No, no.
Never?
No, because they also have hearing issues, Peter. I'm trying to help people that want transcripts for a reason.
Well, in that case, I think the best way we can help them is by
shutting up,
pushing the big red button so they can start transcripting and listening. Big red button!
Tell your friends.